Before we go to the Lord in prayer today, I don't know why I feel compelled to do this, but we're going to do it anyway. I want us to just be quiet. I want us to stop talking, try to shut your mind down just for a minute. I just feel compelled because I keep hearing in my spirit, be still and know that I am God. So we're going to be still and let God be God. I don't know what he's doing. I have no idea. He's working in somebody's life here today, and we're just going to obey. So just at this time, let's just silence ourselves. Shut that mind down and allow God to talk to us. Take a moment and think about what all God has done this week in your life, in the life of your family and your friends. And I ask that if there's something that God has done this week that you feel he's worthy to be praised, I want you to just lift your hand up right now. You can set them down. You know what amazes me? It's the fact that you still see folks who don't understand that if you're here today and you're alive and you're breathing, that is reason enough to praise the Lord God Almighty. Amen. We serve a mighty God, and he is definitely worthy of our praise. For those who were listening in on the live streaming, I know that the moment of silence was probably not real inspirational, but I pray that you took that time to silence yourself as well. Today we're going to let God be God. Today we're going to do whatever he says. If I start out the sermon and he says, nope, that's not where the way we're going, which he's done in the past, then we're going to stop and go the direction he wants. Why? Because this is Father's Day. And Father will have his way. Glory to God. Most of you know me, but for those of you who don't, I'm Tim Cooper. I'm the fill-in. Get on back, Pastor. We miss you, both of you. Sister Jody has been texting quite frequently with Pastor Laverne on the condition of Pastor Jerry. In fact, they've been burning it up. I think there's times where I thought, why don't you silence that thing so it'll quit beeping every 30 seconds? But they were having their conversation. And I guess the thing that caught me the most was when she sent the message where the doctor said, we almost lost him this time. Folks, I want to tell you something. The devil is mad. But he also is defeated. Your prayers for our pastors is what has given them strength. Your prayers for our pastors is what has continued his life. I believe that with everything I am. You can sit there and say, well, it's medical technology. No. If it were not for God, you could get a paper cut and bleed to death. It is God. It is your prayers that have held them up in their times of weakness. It is your prayers that has given them strength and the courage to say, no, we're going to stand on what we know. I don't care what the doctors say. We're going to stand on what we know. In the same manner, I ask as we list these prayers here today, may you pray as deeply for them as you have for your pastor. You may not even remember each one as you walk out of here, and that's okay. God remembers them. So I'm asking you today, as you leave this place, put it in your mind to continue to pray for the needs of the people of this church and their families. Folks, I'm sorry, I can't read this first one. Pat. Oh, Downey. Okay, goodness. Pat Downey family, Cherokee, Jacody, Lakeish, Chris. We also need to pray for, folks, help me out on this one. Is that what that is? Y'all need to start printing. All right. Sheila Frosto for healing. Corey Ferkins for healing. Buddy Wall, heart surgery on Monday. Has that already happened, or is he going to have it on Monday? It's tomorrow, okay. So we need God's hands to guide that surgeon. I'm going to jump down here to the bottom since we're talking about that. You've got a little boy who is 10 years old who's having surgery for a brain tumor tomorrow. 10 years old. We also ask God's guiding hand on that surgeon. Here's another one, Ralph Willis. We need healing for brain cancer. Bernice Taylor for healing. Jennifer Grimes for healing and family for healing. I think it's Grimes. Is it Grimes? Grider. Grimes. I was right the first time. Okay, so I'm sorry. Dalton Coomer for healing. Brenda Cairns for healing. How many of us have other folks who need healing or salvation? Absolutely. God knows every need. Apparently God needs to touch me so I can read these lists. But the main thing is we're going to voice them to God. He's a healing God. He's a God who hears our prayers. And even when we make mistakes, he knows who they are. So let us now go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, the names that were not on that list have been prayed for continually in this church, and that's our pastors. So we add them as well. Father, we ask that you bring comfort to these families. We ask that you bring healing to these bodies. Father, this thought just popped into my head, so I must mention it. I pray for the family who lost that young woman over in Russell Springs this week. What a terrible loss of life, Lord. And while my spirit, my flesh wants to scream out for justice, your word tells me we have to ask for mercy on the man who committed that horrible crime. Father, you are a merciful God, and we pray for mercy. We pray for healing and strength and courage. But most of all, Heavenly Father, we pray for salvation for our lost loved ones. We pray for those who do not know you, for those that, if they take their last breath on this earth and never make an open commitment to Jesus Christ, Lord, that they will go to hell. Father, we pray for them. We ask you, Lord, that you will move mightily in this service today. Let something that is said touch the hearts of each person here. Have your way in this service today, Lord. For you are worthy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask all the fathers to come up here now.
While the men come up, I just wanted to thank everybody again from our family for your prayers and the cards and the letters and the Facebook messages, text messages. All of it has been an encouragement. I know that when Dad was in surgery, I just grabbed Mom's phone real quick and I was texting somebody, and I just started scrolling through and just to see who all had texted her, and it was an encouragement. Well, we're praying for you. God's in control. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. You know, scripture verse after scripture verse. And it was definitely an encouragement to see that, because in those moments, the fear comes in. But when you start backing it up with the word of God, it goes away. So I want to thank you all for that. Another thing that we really hadn't talked about it a lot, it's been in your newsletter, is the camp meeting that's coming up June the 22nd through the 24th. On Friday night, Jim and Connie will be here. On Saturday, Clifton and Jerry Coulter will be here. And then Sunday morning, Richard and Bonita Pierce. And then Sunday night will be Sister Shirley. I want to encourage you guys, try to be here. This is going to be a great time. We're going back old school, if you will. We're going to throw in some of our old songs that we sang when we were, you know, we were in the old sanctuary before it was the new sanctuary, before we got in here. We're going back to when I was a kid, you know, and I'm very excited about that, because it's good to go back and remember where you came from, what got you to where you are today. And I'm really excited about that. And I want to challenge each and every one of you, maybe on your way to work, 5 minutes in the morning when you're putting your makeup on, curling your hair, take a time out just to throw everything else aside and say a prayer. You know, Brother Tim talked about fasting. You know, let's give up something throughout this week and set this camp meeting as a priority. This is going to jump start, you know, I don't want to say the year, but let's jump start. Let's take this as a leaping point and see where we can go. See where this will send us. I think this is a send-off, you know. You know, Dad, yeah, he's not going to be here. But he's here in his heart and in his spirit, you know, and he's praying for us. Even when he's laying in the bed and he can't get up out of the bed to get to the chair, he's still thinking about us and he's praying for us. And Mama's listening to the services whenever she can, and she's dancing around the room, and the nurses are listening to it, and they're just being a witness there and thinking about us here. So I'm committing. I usually, on my way to work, I work in Campbellsville. On my way to work, I call Ricardo and we talk all the way to work. Well, that ain't going to happen this week. I'm taking that moment when I'm in my car. Okay, maybe 5 minutes. I'm taking that from the time that I leave my house to the time that I get to the door to walk into my work. I'm going to be praying for this upcoming service, this camp meeting. I'm dedicating that time to God and for this church. And I want to challenge each and every one of you all to do the same.
Thank you. You should have seen the pouty look on his face when she said she wasn't going to talk to him. That's why she had to recant that and give him 5 minutes at least. Big baby. All right. I love you, bro. Men of God, I stand here and look at this motley crew. And it proves that God is a miracle worker. But you know what? The fact that you are here today. Yes, sir. He's got one right there, doesn't he? Praise God. Come on in here and get in line, brother. The fact that any of us are here today proves God's a miracle worker. But today we're going to honor the fathers. The church has a small gift, just a small token to say thank you for all that you do. Go ahead and hand those out real quick. No, it's not a new car. But it is something you can use to write your tithes check out with. Hint, hint. Men of God, we thank you for standing in the gap. We thank you for standing and being that wall for your family and refusing to give in to the devil, refusing to let your devil destroy your family. I'm not a pops. Thank you. Well, you just think I'm old. That's all it is. Here, I'll take one in honor of your dad. I'll hold that for him. If you want your pen, you're going to have to come get it yourself, Pastor. You want to shut that off? Is it important? Is it from God? No? Okay. I did that in one of my sermons one time. I was telling everybody how important it was that we focus when we're in the church and how important it was to give all your attention to God. And then I had Jody call me from the sound booth, and I went, hold on, sorry, just a second. And you should have seen the look on everybody's face as my phone's ringing. And I start taking the call, and I'm like, yeah, I know God. I'm real busy right now. Can I call you back? Isn't that how we sometimes do it? Oh, praise God, we got to give him every. Hold on just a second, excuse me. I got scolded last night because I was watching the U.S. Open and preparing my sermon at the same time. All I can do is hang my head down and say she was right. I have a few scriptures for you. For you, men of God. And for you, the audience, the congregation. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Now I saw somebody get a little discipline here this morning early. And you know what? Doesn't mean that person doesn't love their son. It means that he does. Folks, if you love your children, discipline and correct them. They've gone into some of these troubled homes, and the first thing they find out is that the parent is the problem because they don't discipline their child. Now, guess what? No child is going to say, Mama, will you spank me tonight? Daddy, will you tear my backside up? No, that's not what we're talking about. No child's going to do that. Will you ground me for 2 years? No. But you know what? When you do it, and you do it the right way, they know it's out of love, and it's because you care. And they want that. The children want to be corrected because it shows the love that you have for them. Psalms 103 and 13 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. In Ephesians 6 and 4, Ricardo's book, And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Have you got numbers on those? Okay. Huh? Okay, but have you picked out the number? Okay. All right, what it is, we've got three special gifts here, and they pick numbers at random. Which side are we counting from? We're counting from this side. So you're number one, and what numbers do we have? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Right here. Go pick a gift. Get the big one. 11. Six. Now, gentlemen, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifices to your family. Thank you to your sacrifices to God. We ask that this day be very special for you, but most of all, let it be special for our Lord. Folks, lift your hands this way. Again, we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for our... We pray that you will just watch over them and protect them. And Lord, when they come up against those things which are temptations, we ask that you give them the courage and strength to overlook it and to bind it with the authority you've given them. We ask you, Lord, as they come up against those walls that look impenetrable, that, Lord, you will give them the courage to go over the top because they will not heed the devil's call. Father, we ask you now as they go through this week, let them be the light that Ricardo spoke of. Let them be the light that your word spoke of. Father, it is in Jesus' name that they do these things. We ask now, strengthen and encourage them. They will support their family in the way your word says, and it brings glory to you. Amen. Gentlemen, thank you so much. You may be seated. One more thing.
On Saturday, there's going to be of course, it's our camp meeting / homecoming, and we're having a meal on that Saturday. Of course, we need everyone to pitch in and bring food, and it's not just finger foods. We're having a meal, like a old-fashioned homecoming meal. So we're going to have a sign-up sheet in the back. So if you want to sign up to bring something, just go ahead and sign that, put your name on there, and we'll be good to go.
Saturday. The meal is Saturday.
When is it? Unless they changed it, the meal is Saturday. Saturday.
Absolutely, positively, maybe Saturday.
I will double check it and let you know at the end of the service.
All right. We're going to know by the end of service, she says, so that's what we're shooting for. For those of you who have the little handouts, the little bulletins that we received, one of the scriptures in there is Matthew 11 and 28. And it came out of the Message Bible, and I kind of like that translation. It says, are you tired or worn out, burn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and light. You know, I've always thought it was interesting how any place Jesus went, you didn't see him in a hurry. He was not rushed. Even when Lazarus was dead. Yes, you can go ahead and children, you can be relieved for children's church. I was going to let him go after I got finished. I was going to make him endure it. But the thing about it is, as Dr. Terry Swan at Lindsey Wilson always says, Jesus moseyed. He moseyed everywhere he went. He didn't get in a hurry. He had intent in every place he went. What is our biggest problem today? Everywhere we go, we're in a hurry to get somewhere. We pull up to the drive-thru, and if it takes more than 30 seconds to get our meal, we get angry. What is taking them so long? Well, they thought they'd like the food to be cooked before they gave it to you. But, you know, we do, because we're in such a hurry. Maybe that we just need to take after Jesus and slow down a little bit and enjoy what he's given us. This morning as we were driving to church, Jody and Lillian were both commenting on how beautiful the fields looked. And you know what? God is a fantastic artist. He can paint the fields beautiful. He can paint the sunsets. And I thank God that he does that, because there's many times where at the end of a hectic day, I need that peace. So just slow down and look at what all God has already given us. Today is Father's Day. And in our lives, we've all had experiences that helped develop us into what we are today. Many are good experiences, and many are not. Many people are able to get past those bad experiences. But unfortunately, all we have to do is look at the world today, and we can see that many people are not able to get past those bad experiences. And it's unfortunate. For many of us, the nurturing care of our mother perhaps was what we relied on the most in our childhood. But for some, maybe the experiences that stick in our minds the most was the time that we spent with our fathers. Maybe it was just that child who was handing daddy wrenches as he was under the car doing an oil change. Or maybe it was teaching you how to hold that baseball so that when you threw it, it would give a curve so that you'd be ready next year during Little League tryouts. Maybe it was when you stood on his feet and he danced with his little princess at the royal ball. We all have our memories. No doubt about it, fathers have an incredible influence on families. The unfortunate thing is some are good and some are bad. I've used the illustration before of a grown man who is sitting awaiting surgery. He's in the hospital room and he's speaking to his father on the phone. And he says, "Dad, I sure hope I can make it home for Father's Day." He said, "You know, I felt awful years ago when I was 10. And I never gave you a gift that year. The father sat and listened for a moment. And then he replied, "Mark, I remember that Saturday before Father's Day. In fact, I followed you to the store. I knew you didn't have any money, so I didn't know what you were going there for. And I stood outside and I watched. And I watched you reach into the cigar bin, take some out, and stick them in your pocket." He said, "At that moment, you broke my heart." He said, "I know. The next day, you stayed out and played all day with your friends because you didn't have a present to present to me." He said, "But my son, you gave me the greatest present a father could ever ask for. When you reached back in your pocket and you pulled those cigars out and put them back in the bin, refusing to break the law, refusing to do what you knew was wrong," he said, "I was never more proud of the gift you gave me that day." Some may feel, well, that's not very plausible. It's not very realistic. But I do believe, even in this materialistic society that we live in today, that when a parent, a father, sees his son or his daughter do the right thing, it fills their chest with pride. Not an ungodly pride, but a pride that says, I'm doing something right. When they see that child and they see them stretch out and do something that helps them to yes, claim their independence, but at the same time, to do it in a godly way, that brings pride to that father because he's seeing that child grow up. Oh, I spoke of the experiences that we all hold dear. Perhaps the one experience that we might think of the most is the first time you saw your father cry when maybe you went off to school or you moved away. Yeah, we try to be tough. We try to suck it up. But you know what? Truth is, there's nothing that hurts worse than seeing one of our loved ones hurt. Or to see one of them leave. But just as the example showed, I believe there's nothing that hurts a parent worse also than to see their child intentionally do something wrong. To do something they know to be wrong and they do it anyway. Romans 13 and 7 says, we are to render honor to whom honor is due. And that includes our fathers. Now, some of you who, as I spoke earlier, don't have good memories of their childhood, perhaps right now you're saying, I will not honor him. He left us when I was, and you can insert your age here. Because guess what? Doesn't matter. You don't know what he did. He, insert the offense right here. Go ahead. You got it in your mind anyway. Go ahead and put it in there. And guess what? It doesn't matter. You're saying, well, you didn't live through it. No, I did not. But even if I had, it still doesn't matter. Did I mention that it doesn't matter? And you're saying, you don't know what I had to live with. No, I don't. But again, the last time, it doesn't matter. Matthew 15 and 4 says to honor your mother and father. It doesn't say if they were parents of the year, honor your mother and father. Or if you think they're the greatest parents alive, honor your mother and father. Or if you liked them at least a little bit, honor your mother and father. You see, the ability of that man or that woman to parent has no impact on what God commands us to do. It says to honor them. There is a story, and I don't know why I'm bringing it up because it's not on my notes, but there's a story about a man whose wife came in to a counselor's office, and she said, I want to hurt him bad. And he said, okay. She said, I want to take him for everything he's worth. And the man, being a wise counselor, said, okay, we can do that, but here's what you have to do first. He said, for the next 6 months, I want you to pretend. I want you to pretend that you love him. I want you to pretend that you absolutely adore him and that your life would not be complete without him. And then at the end of that time, we'll serve him the divorce papers. That'll tear him to pieces. At the end of the six-month period, there was a problem. She didn't come back for her appointment. He knew what happened. He called her up and he says, "Hey, are you going to come fill out this divorce paperwork?" She said, "Are you crazy?" She said, "My life has never been so good. I can't live without this man." We use the word awesome. Awesome! Oh, man, they won. Awesome! They beat the Cardinals. Awesome! Oh, sorry. I know, that's two against me. He's counting. But you know what? What does that really mean? Imagine if you looked up to your father like a child in awe. You looked up to him and you, wow, that's my dad. You know what? That's going to change the reaction of the dad to the child. And I'm not talking look up to them like a three-year-old who grabs daddy's leg and goes, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the one who just wants to be there with him. And whatever daddy says, that's what it is. Dad can do no wrong. Awesome. Imagine if you decided, yes, I've been hurt. Things have been done. And there's a hatred in my heart for that person. Just as the example I gave. Imagine what if you decided one day, "Lord, I don't want to hate them anymore, but I need your help. So I'm going to try to hold them in awe." And you make that first phone call. And maybe it's a short phone call, but maybe it's just to say, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know I love you." Maybe it's to say, "You know, I remember this one thing that you did when I was little. That's really stuck with my heart. That was a good thing." You start to lift them up and hold them in awe. And suddenly you reach a point to where the hatred and the bitterness that you feel you have a right to hang on to is gone. And you realize, no matter what, no matter how bad they hurt you, you love them. No matter how wrong you have been done, you're going to honor your mother and father. Exodus 20 and 12 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Now, if you don't want to live long, go ahead. Hang on to that bitterness and anger. Hang on to the hatred you feel for them, because it will destroy you. All you have to do is look at the heart disease that is in the U.S. today, and they tell you it's attributed to stress. I had someone, a very wise man, tell me one time, "You know what? You are angry at this person, and you are letting it eat you up, and they don't even know it. So the only one being damaged by it is you." That was good counsel. Hanging on to a grudge does nobody any harm but you. I understand that man that we adored, that could do no wrong, we thought that he had a cape that he put on every morning. Yes, I'm Super Dad. And we thought that he could leap buildings in a single bound. But suddenly he begins to get stretched here and there between work, other commitments, and we start losing that connection to him. It's easy to do. And sometimes it's actually us. We become bitter. But then we grow up and we become adults. I've said many times, the older I get, the wiser my parents get. And you know what? The older I get, the more I see why they did many of the things they did. It wasn't by choice. It was by necessity. It would be great if we could spend time with our children as much as we possibly wanted to. But the fact is, there are other obligations. For those who don't have children, get some. Borrow some. Do what Jody and I do. Borrow somebody else's kid. Wind them up, fill them full of sugar, give them back. But anyway, you want me to babysit? But the fact is, the time that you spend with that child is precious to them. But when you can't, you know, sometimes they develop a resentment towards the parent. Especially that knight in shining armor who used to dance with the princess. And now he says, I don't have time. It causes hurt. It causes pain. But God has given us guidelines by which we should follow. In today's society, there is no respect for anyone. You can see it on the television programs. I don't mean to be vulgar when I say this, and I hope you don't take it that way. You can't use the four-letter word that is used for waste expenditure. But you can sit there and use the Lord's name in vain all day long. You can't use that nasty word, that one word I said. But you can put down Christians all day long. Don't try that with other religions, though. Don't try that with other religions. But it's okay on Christians because they got a free season on them. So we've got a whole generation of children being raised not to respect anything. You hear children on some of these programs, parents on some of these programs, if you'll call them that, that say, well, my child won't let me discipline them. I didn't know you had to take a vote. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it in this church before or not, but I had a friend of mine who was a police officer in Pensacola. And one day, he went to a house where there was a domestic disturbance between a father and his daughter. And this other gentleman who had the daughter was also a police officer. And he said, I don't know what to do. I said, what do you mean? Be a dad. He's like, you don't understand. He said, when she was young, he said, I would correct her, I'd spank her bottom. He said, it just made her more defiant. He said, now she's 15 years old, and she's the most rebellious thing in the world. He said, and I don't know what to do. He said, okay. When she come home from school, he said, 3 o'clock. He said, good, we got 3 hours, let's go. Guess what? When she came home that day, she had a mattress on the floor, and that was it. No carpet. She had one outfit in the closet. He knew that her worst meal was liver. So guess what they had for supper that night? She was going to call child services. He said, here's the number, baby. Call them. He said, I will give you anything you want if you respect me. But when you have stopped, like you have now, you have to earn it back. It took her 6 weeks to where she had her full wardrobe again. At first, she did like most of us when we're cornered. I ain't going to do it. He's like, okay. How did you want that liver, with onions or without? You know I hate onions. He said, guess what? I've already checked. I'm responsible to give you a bed, a place to sleep. It doesn't have to be a complete bed. I am responsible for giving you clothing. I'll give you one outfit a day. And I'm required to give you food. It doesn't have to be something you like. Anything else you want, you have to earn. At the end of 6 weeks, they had a different child. Why? Because someone gave good counsel and said, be the father. If she wanted to get her clothes back, she had to do some laundry, something she had never done before because it was beneath her. She had no respect for her parents. She cursed them. What was that scripture again? For everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Folks, I want to tell you something. I'm glad I am not under that time frame. But that doesn't remove God's word from being true. Could you imagine mouthing off to your father and they take you outside the gates of the city and stone you to death just because you mouthed off? I'm looking at you. I would have been gone probably about 3 years old. It'd been like, no, he's defective. We need to get rid of him. But you know what? That's true of most people. There's probably very few of us who would be here. It's not that you have to curse them. But you know what? They went by different rules then. No! No! I hate that. She won't let me say that at home. It worked when I was little. That rebellious child that I was talking about earlier, it was not me, but it should have been. I mean to tell you, you could have whipped me till there was no tomorrow, and I'd laugh at you. Now, I'd go up to the barn and cry later on, but I mean, for that time, I'd laugh at you because I wasn't going to let anybody get to me. You could not do it. You could beat me until there is no tomorrow, and I'd laugh at you. I was defective. But you know what? There's one that came in and touched my heart. And it changed me. Now sometimes I feel like the wind can change directions and I cry. But that's okay, because he made me that way. What is the perfect father? What is the perfect father? Caring, merciful, one who will correct us when we're wrong. The kind of father that when the child becomes belligerent and makes outbursts that offend them, one that loves them enough to overlook it, and then when they've calmed down, to pull them up and say, okay, let's discuss this. Wow, that's the kind of father I want. Now, this isn't your father, and it wasn't mine. I had three fathers, and none of them were like that. But the fact is, we're not talking about your daddy. We're talking about a father who cares for you much more than your daddy ever could. See, this is Father's Day. So let's concentrate on Father. You see, there's one who, when you rebel against him and you thumb your nose at him and you say, I don't need you, he doesn't strike you dead. He doesn't even let those around you stone you to death, which is what we all deserve. But he sends his son to pay a price for us, to pay our penalty. When we're hurt, he's never once told us, suck it up, son. What's the matter with you, you big sissy? No. He's just wrapped his big old arms around you and held you and comforted you. That's my father. And no matter how far away I get, I can just mention his name, and he's there. But my father's also a gentleman, because he will not force his way into your life. He'll only take as much as you give him. I heard on K-Love Radio, they were going through call-ins of people, memories they have for their parents, for their fathers. And there was one call that really touched me. And it was of a son who was calling in, and he said, I remember growing up with a mother who was bipolar. And he said, she would not stay on her medicine. And he said, one day she would be fine, and then the next day, he said, with the flip of a switch, she was absolutely psychotic. You couldn't calm her down. She would just go into this manic rage. And she said, no matter what my father tried to do, it was never right. And I can remember, he fixed a wonderful meal, and she came and she threw it on the floor. And he smiled at her, and he knelt down and picked up the meal. He said, I became so enraged as my mother stormed out of the room. And I stood up and I looked at my father and I said, when are you ever going to get enough? Why do you put up with that? Why don't you say something? And his father looked at him and he said, son, in order to be a gentleman, you have to be a gentleman. And he said that was something that stuck with him throughout the years. Every time he wanted to explode on someone because they were doing him wrong, he remembered the words of his father. In order to be a gentleman, you have to be a gentleman. Our society says if somebody does you wrong, stick it to them. Get them. Pour it on. Make it hurt. But our father says no. Be a gentleman. Show the love that I've shown you. Malachi 1:6 says that a son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am the father, where's my honor? And if I am the master, where is my reverence? Today we are all children of God, those who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ and profess him as our Savior. And the Lord God and Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, is our Heavenly Father. So again, he asked the question, where is my honor? Where is my reverence? As you leave this place today, honor that man in your household. Honor that father. But I beg of you, not just today, but every day, honor the true Father, for he is worthy. Again, the thought keeps coming up to that gentleman over there. That pastor in Russell Springs who lost his daughter. He's a pastor. How much more of a test must he endure? I pray today that we ask God to strengthen him and encourage him and help him make the right decisions. The flesh cries out to scream and yell and retaliate in rage. But the Spirit of God says something totally different. And eyes are on him. More than ever before, eyes are on him. Because I want to tell you, this world is sitting here saying, okay, man of God, let's see how you react to this one. Pray for that pastor and his family. Not the uplifting, exciting Father's Day message that perhaps we expected. But I feel that it's the one that we needed today. Honor your father. Yes, today, honor your earthly father. But most of all, honor your heavenly father. Please stand with me. The meal will be at 5 p.m. on Saturday, and please bring a dish to share. And that's in writing. Okay, sign-up sheet is going out in the hallway. Please sign up for that.
And we also need volunteers for Friday night.
Hold on.
We're having snacks for the ministers on Friday night. If you'd like to volunteer to help do that or bring something for that, it's just finger foods. If you, two families want to get together and do it, we can do that as well. But there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for that as well.
Thank you. Before we release, I'm going to ask you right where you are. Everybody just bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask you. And this isn't for me. This is actually for you. Today, is there malice that you hold in your heart towards your earthly father? If there is, just lift your hand up and then lower it right back down. I see that hand. I'm going to pray today, and I'm going to ask God to help you to let go, to help you to get past this, and to love that man the way that God loves you. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we close this service, we pray, Lord, that you give us a heart that is willing to let go of the offenses. We ask that you give us a heart of forgiveness, one that only you can bring, Lord, for you know what everyone in this place has gone through, and you know where they are now. I pray, Lord, that you will help them to have the courage to go against what the flesh says, but to abide in the Word of God and His comfort. Watch over this congregation today, Lord. Keep them safe. Let them enjoy their time of fellowship with their fathers. Most of all, Lord, protect them and keep them safe until they can return again at the appointed hour, being that light, that city on a hill, that they bring the light of Christ to reality for many. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. See you Friday night.